The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else, it's the Steve Hook Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Or Saturday, if you're down under on that in that hemisphere. It's good to be with you. Steve Hook with you. And we have a big show for you today. My guest today is Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. We talked to Jennifer a couple of weeks ago, and I'm happy to welcome her back. Jennifer, of course, is a contributor to Red State, redstate.com. And we had a lot of fun with her last time, and we're going to be chatting with her about a couple of different things. She is a very prolific writer at Red State. She puts in a whole bunch of columns, well, seemingly every week. And I can pick a topic with Jennifer because she's just so well versed on all of it. So that'll be fun coming up in just a bit. And also, I once again today, it looks like we're going to close the week out with no indictment of President Trump. Alvin Bragg's office has they're kind of hinting that they may bring a witness forward to counter what Bob Costello, working on Trump's side. But Bob Costello revealed a whole bunch of damaging info on Michael Cohen, as you may recall. And that kind of lit just a firestorm. Everybody's going nuts, like, oh, my God, this completely destroys the case against Trump. And my point is, what case was that? At this point, what case was destroyed? You mean it stops the witch hunt? Because that's all this has always been about. But apparently there was no grand jury today, no indictment, nothing like that. This thing is turning to ash and wisp of smoke right before Bragg's eyes. So bad so that even the histrionic Randy Weingarten of the, and who's she with? She's with the teachers unions. Yeah. She's with the NFT, I think, National Federation of Teachers Union President. She said that even mentioning the fact, now this is a woman, by the way, who is supposed to be representing what? Well, yes, representing the union, but representing students, right? That's what they tell us anyway. And so if that's the case, then why in the ever-loving hell is this woman commenting on people criticizing Alvin Bragg? She said that anybody that mentions that Alvin Bragg was supported by George Soros is anti-Semitic. I mean, you just really and truly cannot make it up with these people. They will find anything to get angry about. And this woman of all people, Randy Weingarten, received an education of her own. I'm reading from foxnews.com. Teachers union boss Randy Weingarten received an education of her own recently after suggesting that anyone pointing out that Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's ties to liberal billionaire George Soros is being anti-Semitic. That's what she said. She's the head of America's Federation for Teachers, which is what I said, AFT, second largest teachers union in America. And she tweeted out, that people pointing out the connections from Soros' money to Manhattan DA Bragg is reflective of a growing wave of, quote, anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. She's got a lot of nerve. Who in the hell? Have you ever heard of Ilhan Omar there, Randy? You ever heard of her? How about Rashida Tlaib? You ever heard of Rashida Tlaib? How about AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? You've heard of them, right? Anyway, She got just absolutely raked over the coals for this, though, on Twitter. Just a couple of examples. Weingarten has dozens of tweets about the Koch-backed initiatives. Of course, that's the Koch brothers. Well, there's only one of them alive now. But the Koch brothers, of course, they're Jewish. And then another one. Can you point out a specific example of anti-Semitism in that accurate statement about Soros funding DA Bragg? Of course not, she can't. So anyway, that's what's going on. But Bragg's case, I think, is going away. And that's probably why Weingarten is freaking out, because Weingarten, you know, being a champion for the students and all, wants to see Trump rot in prison. That's what's going on. Now, let me take on the other side of this real quick. Donald Trump, God love him, but he does himself no favors by going on Truth Social and saying there will be death and mayhem, or whatever the hell it was he said, if I get prosecuted and if I get indicted on this, there could be basically death and destruction all over the streets of America. And I know that Trump is a counterpuncher, folks, and I like Trump. I got nothing against the man. I think his policies were absolutely genius. But why in the world would you hand them that on a silver platter? That is just, he said, I think that Alvin Bragg is psychotic or something along those lines. I don't have it right in front of me, but it's just something that just has been kind of gnawing at me all day long, that Trump is in a position here where he's going to win this fight because everybody knows it's a bogus charge. Everybody knows it's crap. And instead of just saying, you know what, we're going to let this one play out. Everybody knows it's bogus. So I'm just going to sit back here and accept the apologies from, which you'll never get, but, you know, just kind of watch it all fall apart from my beautiful retreat at Mar-a-Lago. But instead, he has to go on Truth Social and say there will be blood and mayhem and death and destruction, whatever the hell else he said. And that, of course, just feeds the animal, doesn't it? It feeds the beast. So we'll see how it plays out. But as it stands right now, it looks like this case is going nowhere, and it's getting there quickly. So maybe we'll even discuss that with Jennifer a little bit later. Hey, for a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit the website at tntradio.live. That's tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators, kind of like me. And you can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, all of that stuff. That's what we do here right on TNT Radio.
Unbiased and reliable news coverage.
It's the news I trust.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, it's time to bring in our man, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Get this now, despite plenty of objections amid zero votes from Democrats. This is just a wonderful story. Today, the House managed to pass the Parents' Bill of Rights, and the GOP bill is a response to growing anger from parents across the country and about access to information, everything going on in, from school curriculum to safety and mask policies, gender ideology, pushing CRT, critical race theories, all this crap that the left wants to force feed your children. And not one single Democrat said that parents should have a right to do that. In fact, they said quite the opposite. Parents have no business being involved in the rights of their children. But at least that's what it says with their non-vote. But here with the whole story, TNT News Radio producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Adam, how you doing, brother? Happy Friday.
I'm all right. Thank you very much, Steve. Don't you know that the kids don't belong to the parents? Come on, man. They belong to all these other people, apparently. Here we go. There were some Republicans who decided not to vote too.
Yeah.
Boo. Shame on them. But yes, indeed, March 24th, that's today, Friday, the Republican-led House voted to pass its Parents' Bill of Rights with, as you mentioned, zero Democrat votes after Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez called it fascist. The controversial, yeah, it's a good one, huh? The controversial bill, which gives parents a stronger role in what's taught in public schools, is, of course, not expected to be taken up by the Democratic majority Senate. So what is she crying about anyway? Critics denounced the legislation, saying it has led to book bans, restrictions aimed at transgender students, and unhinged board meetings nationwide. Let's back up. how did this happen, Steve? It's all their fault, to be honest. After the COVID-19 restrictions led many parents to receive a better glimpse into their children's education as they were learning at home via their computers. Many parents learned in this setting about the far left ideology being pushed in the classroom, and they started raising some eyebrows. In turn, parents across the nation began showing up to local school board meetings to protest the curriculum. How dare they? Later, Attorney General Merrick Garland was caught in an October 4th, 2021 memo offering federal resources and legal aid to states days after the National School Boards Association wrote a letter to President Joe Biden saying the country's, quote, public schools and its education leaders are under an immediate threat, unquote, from these parents, and called verbal confrontations and other incidents at local school board meetings across the country, quote, domestic terrorism and hate crimes, end quote. Since that memo came to light, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has vowed to deliver legislation to ensure that parents' control over their children's education is legally protected. And this is that result. As he said, it's them, quote, keeping our promise, our commitment to America, that parents will have a say in their kids' education, end quote. The bill narrowly passed in a 213 to 208 vote that saw just a handful, I believe five Republicans vote against it, along with every single Democrat. The bill would require schools to publish course studies and a list of books kept in libraries and affirm parents' ability to meet with educators, speak at school board meetings, and examine school budgets. Oh my God, that just sounds so awful, Steve. No wonder the Democrats are so against this. This is wild.
It's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts because what they're saying, what Democrats are saying is, and it's really rich that AOC would say it's fascist. So just so we can understand each other, Ruckus, and I want to make sure I got this straight. I know I just heard you right, but I want to make sure I got it straight. According to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, it is fascist that the state doesn't have complete and utter control over everything it puts into the brains of our kids, correct?
Well, God only knows what's going through her little brain there, my friend. But she's calling it fascist, supposedly. Don't shoot the messenger here, because it would target LGBT youth and censor racial content. That's her argument. So there you go.
No. It would not censor. You know, this is what drives me so nuts. You know what it is, Ruckus? The left counts and they depend on people being very misinformed. So they just say stuff like they're trying to block us from teaching the true black history of America. That's completely not true. Not even remotely close to true. And I remind everybody, it was Ronald Reagan who made Martin Luther King Day a national holiday. Okay, just a heads up. He was a Republican. It was Democrats that wrote every single Jim Crow law that's ever been written. It's Democrats that propagated segregation and kept it going. And they all died Democrats too. So I'm just sick of this identity politics, and that's what they're afraid of. They are petrified that we are going to remove the identity politics card from their deck when dealing with our children, because they want to get them young. They want to tell the white kids that you are the oppressors, and they want to tell the kids of color that you are the oppressed. And by God, and by the way, if you're a guy and if you're a boy and you feel like a girl one day, now you're the oppressed. It's so sickening that it's maddening. I'm just, thank God that my girls are out of school by now, because I would be at every school board meeting. Although my school district is pretty good, if I'm honest, around here. I live in the reddest part of the state of New Jersey, though, that's why. So,
but if you did else? That, Steve, that would be one of the yeah, it'd be, yeah, it's just another one of the many things that probably makes you or I a DT. So
a DT. That's it. We're DTs now. We're domestic terrorists because the bartender said so. Whatever. I just mock them at this point. I mock them. I smirk at them. I laugh in their face. They mean, one thing, I'll say this, Ruck, is that this kind of started to lead to the cancel culture, the wokeista crap. A lot of people got intimidated by that and kind of self-censored. Not me. I double down, triple down, quadruple down on it, because I'm not going to allow somebody to tell me to shut up because I'm speaking common sense. I have a problem with critical race theory because I think it's stupid. I think it intentionally divides kids based on immutable characteristics like color, like pigmentation of all things. But they see it as a political advantage. I think it's disgusting. And I think that here to the Republicans. But you're right. It's going to go nowhere in the Senate. And even if it did, hypothetically, if we could stretch it out, if we could extrapolate this, let's just say that Herschel Walker won in Georgia. We had control of the Senate. Well, then Biden would veto it. So, you know, it's not going anywhere for at least a couple of years. But hopefully parents will stay engaged. I'm sure they will. And shut down this idiocy that our public school system is going to hell in a handbasket. That's all I'll say.
Hear, hear, anyway, amen bro. To all of that. You have a nice weekend, Steve, okay?
You too, Ruckus. Take care, brother. We'll talk to you Monday. All right, there he goes. That's our man, Ruckus. You're listening to the Steve Hook Show. We've got a great guest for you. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell will be joining us on the other side. Don't go anywhere. The Steve Hook Show continues on TNT Radio next.
TNT Radio's George Eliason.
Zelensky himself is not a nationalist. He's warmed up to it. He likes the idea of being 2023's version of Stepan Bandera. I mean, they have a few things in common. One, they both like to dress in women's clothes. Two, they're deviant in their personal life. Three, they had a sense of themselves that is above this self-awareness, we'll say. The next best thing to God is me, is how they look at it. But for Zelensky, it's because he's an actor, and it's about the Facebook likes. It's about the amount of money he can rake in. It's about, oh my gosh, the social popularity. And that's, you know, a president of a war-torn country demanding to speak at the Oscars. Give me a break.
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Action Against Hunger is the world's hunger specialist, with the highest 4-star rating from Charity Navigator, and 93% of every dollar donated going directly to our humanitarian programs. Active and on the ground since 1979, innovating, advocating, empowering, and saving lives in over 45 countries. Nearly 95% of our staff serve in their home countries, braving conflict and difficult terrain to help 20 million strong, resilient people overcome unthinkable circumstances. From South Sudan to Yemen, from Somalia to Bangladesh, Action Against Hunger gets to hard-to-reach communities, providing aid where others cannot. Our teams are on call 24 hours a day and ready to get life-saving help into the field. The need is acute. 16 million children suffer from the most severe form of hunger. 2 million a year lose the fight to deadly hunger. And more than 5,000 children still die every day from hunger-related causes. There's a need to scale up, and a need for individuals and partners to support innovative programs around the globe. With your help, Action Against Hunger can train and mobilize even more local field teams. With your help, we aim to double the number of children receiving treatment for life-threatening malnutrition. With your help, we can keep saving lives. The world needs a better way to deal with hunger. Together, we're creating it for everyone, for good. Join us. Take action against hunger.
Visit actionagainsthunger.org. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
The electric vehicle, saving the planet, killing children. We mandate that the truth be told. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. Happy to welcome our guest today. We spoke to Jennifer a couple of weeks ago, and we welcome her back now, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. How are you, Jennifer? Welcome back.
Doing well, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure. Trust me, I love your work at redstate.com because you're so prolific. That's why I just go to the site. And I'm like, oh, there she is. Yeah. So I was kind of teasing in the run up to bringing you on that I could pick on just about any subject to talk about with you, because you have no doubt written about it at some point during the course of the last week. And I just wanted to kind of touch on one that you were mentioning, and that is Trump's potential arrest turns into a fundraising boon. He is making a lot of money off of this Alvin Bragg circus sideshow, which I think I don't think that's going to go anywhere. How much money has he made? What's going on?
I believe it was the last count as of yesterday or the day before, $1.5 million in fundraising from Saturday to Tuesday.
Wow. That's pretty strong.
Do you
get the sense that today on Truth Social, I really think he kind of let it get away from him a little bit. They call it a truth, I guess. They don't call it a tweet. I don't know what they call it.
Right.
A truth, I guess. But when he posted that there could be blood and mayhem or whatever, I forget the exact verbiage he used, but it was, I'm not being hyperbolic when I say blood and mayhem. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
Why does he do that? That just drives me nuts. He's just giving them ammunition to attack him with, don't you think?
I just think that's just Trump, and you have to take Trump the way he is. I mean, sadly, he steps on himself a lot, steps on the message, sometimes goes too far, like all the silliness with DeSantis. But
yeah,
on the other hand, we know what we're getting, as opposed to people who do the song and dance and pretend they're something else, and we find out after they're elected.
Yeah, that's well. I mean, I kind of that list is endless. You could go with John Boehner, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney. Hello, Mitt Romney. Hello. I see what you're saying. You're right. Everybody knows who, and that's the thing about Donald Trump. People have known Donald Trump since the 80s, really. He's never changed. I mean, he's been that counterpuncher ever since. But sometimes as a Trump supporter, I feel like I have to turn into a Trump defender when he says stuff like that. And I wish I didn't have to do that so damn often.
Yeah, it is the lament of people who are Trump supporters, and actually people who aren't technically Trump supporters. I mean, I wouldn't call myself a Trump supporter. I call balls and strikes. I like them as president, but is he a perfect person? No. And do I just, I'm on the Trump train? Not necessarily. I find him fascinating. But I find myself defending him because it's just like, come on, people. You've known this man for a decade and loved him before he became president. That's what gets me the most, is that these people that raved about him and loved him before he became president, and then suddenly he's the evil incarnate now that he is president. It's like,
But to put a little asterisk next to that comment, it's because he was a president with an R after his name. If he was a president with a D after his name, it would probably be considerably different. But that's true. Trump is going to Trump, and that's just the way that is. I tend to agree with you though about the attacks on DeSantis. I think this is not going to be good for the base, much less his campaign. But I think it's going to get the base at each other's throat, and that's the last thing we need. You perceive that? I hope that Fauci is hit back a little bit, but even Fauci. I mean Fauci. But did I just say Fauci? It's because I'm looking at your next article.
That one.
I'm looking at your next piece that I want to touch on. DeSantis has hit back a little bit.
Yeah, but definitely soft pedaling there.
Yeah, but I just hope that they can both kind of, they need to have kind of a come to Jesus moment between the two of them and say, look, we can fight each other on the debate stage or whatever, but we've really got to, we've got to shore this up because they've got to get back in the White House. One of them does. One of them has to get back. The Republicans have to win back control of the House, because we saw what happened with the Democrats or the Republicans today, passed the Parents' Bill of Rights. It's not going to go anywhere in the Senate. And even if it did, I was talking with Ruckus, Biden would veto it. So we've got to get the White House back.
Most definitely.
Okay. Well, listen, we do have to take a quick break, but when we get back, I want this top story that you wrote. Fauci and his spouse, Dr. Christine Grady, have apparently been kind of shucking and jiving the American people for a long time and making a bunch of money and turn their positions at the NIH into to prey on the American people, so says your headline. So I want to get your take on that on the other side of it. My guest today is Jennifer O'Connell, and she will join us on the other side. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio News.
Hi, everybody.
So many crazy news stories going on right now.
Now, the news. Go.
This is James O'Neill with a check in today's headlines. Iran-backed fighters fired three missiles at a U.S. military base in northeast Syria today, after President Biden launched a series of retaliatory airstrikes in response to a deadly Iranian suicide drone attack that killed an American contractor. Danish authorities have said they'll permit the Russian-owned operator of the sabotaged Nord Stream 2 pipeline to take part in the salvaging of a mystery object discovered in Denmark's territorial waters.
We're the pinup boys and poster girls for free speech. We just don't look as impressive as Vladimir Putin shirtless on a horse. Yeah. 24/7, 365. We never stop sifting fact from fiction, misinformation from the truth. From government overreach to the latest on mandates, big tech censorship to propaganda gone mad. Listen to TNT Radio and get the news and views direct from our expert presenters and commentators anywhere you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. My guest is Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. Jennifer, thanks for holding in. This article really jumped right out at me because it's one of those articles that you read and you're like, I knew it. You know what I mean? It's confirmation. It's almost, I wouldn't say it's confirmation bias, but it certainly is confirmation of what we long suspected. Headline: Dr. Anthony Fauci and spouse, Dr. Christine Grady, use their NIH platforms to prey on the American people. Boy, that's quite a claim, but you back it up. And one of the things that really I was shocked at was the graph you provided, given how much money they were making. In 2016, the Fauci-O'Grady household, or Fauci-Grady, they're not married. Is that the door? They're just dating. Is that
no? They are married. They have been married for I don't know how long. Over 30 years, I believe, because they have two grown daughters.
Okay.
So they've been married. They've been married a long time. Obviously, you know, feminist that she is, she maintains her maiden name or the name that she was. You know, got her PhD
she wants. She wants her own individual identity, but she wants the joint bank account because I got to tell you, the money that these two made. In 2016, they made a combined salary of $5,806,641. That's 2016. Let's fast forward to COVID. 2020, $9.5 million. I'm not going to give you all the numbers, but it's $9,540,000. 2021, $10,421,000. And then 2022, last year, Fauci and his wife made $12.677.5. Good God, they almost made $13 million. That's ridiculous. Why don't you tell us some more about the about how this couple has worked over the years?
So I want to clarify that the graph, as well as all of this information, really is from an organization called Open the Books, which is doing yeoman's work, great work in exposing a lot of this government corruption and malfeasance. And they're the ones who dug up the freedom, you know, did the Freedom of Information Act request, dug up all the emails, all of the stock options, stuff on, you know, whatever website they can find.
Right.
But yeah, a public figure making or a public employee making this much money. And if you notice, the jump of income between 2021 and 2022 is what's particularly troubling, because that was during the height of the COVID pandemic, when you were starving, when you were out of work, when your business got shut down. They were making money off of not only their relationship with Pfizer and Moderna, but through whatever other stock options, probably Zoom, which we're using right now, you know, stock options that allowed them to enrich themselves. while everyone else was suffering and starving. That's one of the more harmful things that they have done, along with just being in partnership in terms of the policies that were set out during COVID. They were hand in hand on the lockdowns. Her role is, she is the ethicist, chief of the ethicist department. Basically, the people who decide, you know, is this moral? Is this ethical? Should we be doing this? She is making those decisions for public health. And then he's creating policies that are supposed to line up with those decisions. And they weren't putting any brakes on each other. They weren't checks and balances. They were in lockstep in locking people down, in forcing people to die alone rather than having their family there. Just a number of things that were just truly harmful and truly evil.
And it's just so, it's so maddening, because you're absolutely right. As I'm reading, as I'm looking at that chart again, and I see that is a huge jump. Now, mind you, that the graph went, the only year that it started to go down, and this is the thing that really kind of jumped out at me too, was 2016, 2017, 2018. They're on a glide path, making at least $1 million more almost every year. 2019, it dips a little. They're still making, between the two of them, $7.5 million. But that was the beginning of COVID-19, hence the year 2019. Yeah. And then from 2019, every year after that, it just jumped off the chart. While we're paying $6 for a dozen eggs and $5.50 for a gallon of milk, and you know, outrageous amounts of money on gasoline and everything, really, frankly, and hunting down toilet paper, for God's sakes, these guys are just rolling. These two are just rolling in the dough. And apparently she was the one that was saying, you know, Tony, I think you need to lock kids down. And then he would make that happen. Is that the claim from Open the Books?
That is the claim from Open the Books, and they give documentation from not only Grady's past writings and past white papers, but some of the current emails that have gone on that have been exposed now with the COVID transparency that is happening. They show that she was in direct correlation with Francis Collins and with Fauci, as well as, you know, of course, they shared a bed. So who knows what else they discussed in the privacy of their home.
Yeah, how else can we make a buck off of this thing? It's ugly, really. It's really, really ugly. Do you think that the Republic? I mean, I don't know that, as ugly as it is, I don't know that they broke any law, because they were government employees and they were just basically advising consent on what should be done. And you know, Trump kind of initially thought Fauci was a pretty good fella. And then, of course, he started to kind of turn on Fauci, or I should say the other way around, really. Fauci kind of turned on Trump, and then we know what happened. But then, boy, when Biden came into office, it was, okay, now we're all best buddies again. Do you think Republicans are going to be able to kind of untie this Gordian knot of corruption that took place?
You know, I hope so. I seriously do, just because I have faith in Rand Paul and Mike Lee and a few other people who have lit a fire under Fauci before, Josh Hawley, about some of his record and his lies and his connection to gain of function. So my hope is that they will focus in on this money trail. And again, that contrast of, you lost your business and he made all these policies that helped engineer that while enriching himself. That's just wrong. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's wrong that you allow a camera crew. I don't know if you've seen the recent PBS American Masters documentary. It was done in 2021. You allowed a camera crew to follow you around while everyone else needed to be locked down and wearing masks and couldn't do their work. And you're, let me show off my work. This is so important. This is so historical. I'm glad that it is backfiring on him. It's being mocked. And really, there are some gems that I wrote recently about in Substack, like one black man who's basically calling out the entire COVID narrative, saying it's all about fear. You're trying to incentivize people to get this poison. Why? So those gems out of that documentary really are exposing him for the fraud that he is.
Yeah, I'm looking at that piece right now, and he's all that you posted the link to the PBS American Masters piece, and He's all coiffed and he looks cool. He's like, he's getting ready to go hit the racquetball court or something. And then of course he did the old, oh, here's Anthony Fauci in sportswear on the cover of Vanity Fair or whatever. This guy was such a, he's such a media whore. It was so ugly.
Exactly. There'd be a bit of circumspection. I know there's some media opportunities that you need to do in your role, but yeah, Vanity Fair, Vogue, People Magazine, books and you've seen his office or some of the images from his office in his home, gigantic portraits of himself and pillows. It's like, there's a little bit of a narcissist there, isn't it? Very scary.
He's got a massive mural of himself in his own office. I mean, who the hell does that?
Him and Brady. Maybe Trump. Hello.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, it's just so, it's distasteful. And I'm with you though, Jennifer. I'm glad it's backfiring on him too. But he, you know, he's a feisty Fausti, Fauci. When he gets in front of Rand Paul and Rand Paul starts reading him the riot act, he never backs down. And I'm just ready for the man to make a mea culpa. And I think that we're going to be waiting a long time for that. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see him back down because, I mean, you've been weaving lies and promoting yourself all this time as one thing. You're not going to allow that image to be shattered. You're going to fight tooth and nail not to have that happen. Something else that I found interesting is the documentation from even when he was a young scientist. This is before he even got into the AIDS crisis, got into this one. Why so much documentation? I have a question that I need to dig in on that one. It's like, it's almost like he was priming himself or someone was engineering him to be who he is now.
He was put on the glide path from an early intern probably. I think that the, you know what he lost me, Jennifer? He lost me when he said, I am the science. He should have lost me before then, but I have this innate ability to not see a snake until I step on it. And I wanted to believe the best in Fauci. I wanted to. Everybody did. But then I started listening to what Rand Paul was saying, and then I started kind of looking at, wait a minute. Yeah, even of all people, even Jon Stewart, when he stood, I forget what show he was on. It was Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon or one of those shows where he made a mockery of the fact that, oh, maybe it's a penguin. Maybe it's a pangolin. And then he said, oh, except we can't ignore the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So once I started, you know, seeing that, it became pretty obvious. And with the NIH, I mean, he did fund that institute. So, God, I hope he gets his comeuppance.
I hope something occurs of justice for the people who were harmed and you know, who death calls. I mean, I attended a cousin's funeral via Zoom during that time
because
he couldn't have a funeral. Yet George Floyd got 3 days and John Lewis got 3 days in a full court procession. And so the imbalances, it's not just the harm done. It's the imbalances of, well, we get to do this. But you don't, because, you know, you're just our experiment. You're just our test case.
Shut up, Surf. Shut up, Surf.
And there needs to be payment for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. It may take a few years, but hopefully we'll get it. I mean, obviously you can't bring your cousin back and we can't bring these people back. I think that children have been irreparably harmed because of this. I don't think that's overstating it even a little bit. I think Fauci's wife, I think people like Randy Weingarten, I think they're evil incarnate in reality for what they did to these kids. I mean, you think about it, Jennifer, you remember when you were in school. I remember when I was in school. Good God, a year of school felt like 10 years. You couldn't wait to get out. So imagine being in the fifth and sixth, seventh grade, and you don't go to school. If you lived in California, you didn't go to school for basically damn near 3 years before they let you back in.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah.
That's just ridiculous. And
it's not just, you know, going to school. It is the socialization that happens right when you're in school. The kids who lost out on scholarships because they were not able to play sports and not able to qualify. The academic excellence that they had being totally diminished and wiped out. You know, as you said, we're unfolding the damage, and there's probably going to be more that gets unfolded. And also those children who died or who are irreparably harmed from vaccine injury, they're still not really admitting that. They're still, you know, they're saying, yeah, you know, it's not as effective, but they're not talking about who has gotten injured over it.
Yeah, well, I always know that they're BSing when they say, oh, that's just anecdotal. Well, okay, might be anecdotal, but it happened. And there's a lot of anecdotes lately.
It seems to be.
It does seem to be. I want to take a break, but I want to come back and I want to talk to you about what happened today in the House regarding this Parents' Bill of Rights. Because while I know you haven't written about it this week, I would wager that there's probably going to be an article from you because, like I said, you're so prolific. You'll probably be touching on this. So I'd like to get a preview from you on what you think about it, because I think it's a wonderful thing. But I also think that it's very telling that not a single Democrat voted for parents' rights regarding their kids in public elementary or in public education. My guest today is Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. You're listening to The Steve Hook Show, and we'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
So I'm cruising the internet, and while on the Fox News side, I come across this headline. Tradwives push back against critics who say their viral homemaking lifestyle is alarming and creepy. So my first step was to find out what a tradwife is. According to the piece, it's a relatively new term for traditional wives. Tradwives are women who honor femininity, care for their husbands, their children, and family, and value the state of their home more than they do salary, yet they're not subservient. So at first you may ask yourself, how could anyone find that to be alarming or creepy? I mean, that's how it was when I was growing up in the U.S., and I'll tell you what, family life was far superior to what we have today, and kids had the security of a two-parent upbringing with a mom who was always there. Single parent moms weren't lining up at 8 a.m. to dump their 3-month-old at daycare while on their way to work. The social media hashtag tradwife received millions of impressions. And guess what? 92% of searchers had a negative view of tradwives, which speaks to just how far the fabric of the family has fallen and how much danger our kids are in. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Examining the issues. Steve Hook on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right. Welcome back to the Steve Hook Show. And again, my guest today, Jennifer Oliver O'Connell. Jennifer, thank you. Okay, let's kind of drill down to what happened today in the House. The House Republicans passed the Parents' Bill of Rights, essentially, for their kids in school. This was in reaction to, actually, COVID. All of this stuff kind of, it's all kind of interconnected. After parents saw what was going on in their kids' classrooms across the nation, from one end of the fruited plain to the other, parents started getting PO'd, not just about the fact that their kids were locked down, but when they were watching the Zoom feeds, they started seeing the critical race theory, the trans activism, the America sucks, your oppressors, and all this stuff that ticked a lot of us off. And then, of course, they started kind of saying, well, what do you want to be called while you're in school? It'll just be our little secret. So Republicans responded to parents' demands, and that is, we're going to give you the right to have a say in your kids' education. And then Democrats in lockstep voted against it and then said it was fascism. What is your take on all of this?
Well, I have to applaud Representative Kevin Kiley from California, who basically was one of the main author sponsors of this bill in the first place. And he was on the forefront in California when he was an assemblyman of the parents' movements. He single-handedly stood up for parental rights and, you know, visited school boards, visited parents' meetings, encouraged parents in trying to get schools to reopen in California. So, you know, the fire that was lit under him obviously spread to the Capitol, thank God. And that's why this bill was able to come about. But you're right. Parents across America were just fed up with how dare you, you know, without my permission, share these things with my children. How dare you transition my child without me knowing about it? Shouldn't they, I remember one parent crying, literally, a parent in California, because she was so wounded that something that should have been intimately shared with her was stolen from her by these teachers who were just like, well, don't tell your mother and, you know, we'll do X, Y, Z. So it's the secrecy. It's also the arrogance, the fact that they're just saying, well, what are you going to do about it? Well, seriously, every school board from Loudoun County to Claremont County, basically, we're just like, well, what are you going to do about it? We've got the power. This is what we do. And the wiping out of school boards or the conservative turnover in school boards in Virginia, in certain places in California, not enough, but some in Colorado, in Arizona, is part and parcel of what happened. So this bill is inevitable, whether it gets vetoed or not. Not sure. Biden has made noises, according to Kiley, that he'd be willing to sign it. We shall see. But if it does pass the Senate, it will be a major testament to the power of the parent in basically, again, wanting transparency and wanting to have ownership and guidance in their children's lives. If we are responsible for them up until the age of 18 and legally and, you know, financially accountable, then we should also be so over their education and over, you know, what they're reading and what they're learning.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Jennifer, and I don't mean to sound flippant here, but can you even believe that you just said what you just said? I mean, in this day and age, that you should even have to say that? I mean,
I cannot. I mean, it's
staggering that we would even have this conversation that, wait a minute, are you saying that parents should have a right to have a say in their children's education? What are you, a Nazi? I mean, because that seems to be their response.
Yeah, it is. That's what I mean, the arrogance of, well, you don't own your child. I mean, that's what lost Terry McAuliffe, the governor's race, sitting up talking about, well, parents don't necessarily have any right over their children. And that is what the Democrat Party believes. And the hell you say is what parents have basically said.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what, Jennifer. I knew we were on this glide path towards tyranny and authoritarianism when it came to our kids. When Hillary Clinton put out that stupid book, It Takes a Village. Because that right there, if you dig down into that book, that's what she's saying. She's saying the village is accountable. Therefore, individual parents don't really have the say. The village has the say. And I'm like, no. If it takes a village, a good village is made up of good families, and good families are made up of good parents. And don't ever write them out of the script, because you'll pay mightily for that. And of course, as you mentioned, Loudoun County learned that the hard way. Hell, the Commonwealth of Virginia, this is why we have a Governor Glenn Youngkin right now, because of it. I'm shocked to hear that Biden is kind of angling towards signing it. I would be willing to bet that he's going to get a rash of crap from the left side of his base, which is, let's be honest, Jennifer, pretty much almost the entirety of his base at this point, at least a huge chunk of it. Do you think that, I mean, I suspect Schumer won't even bring this up in the Senate.
We'll see. They're doing a number of things to try and split the baby because they're hobbled in a sense. I mean, granted, you know, they still got Fetterman, but do they have Fetterman? So really, there's hobbling in the Senate, as well as Biden claims he's going to run again. So he's trying to do what Clinton did and move a little bit right in some of the things that he's been agreeing to and signing.
Yeah, so we'll but see. You know what, though? Clinton had something. I mean, Clinton had the morality of a garden slug. But he if nothing else, you could say this about Bill Clinton. He was pragmatic. And I think all pragmatism has left that party, quite frankly. I just think they're out for blood right now. I mean, you've got Hakeem Jeffries saying
incompetent. Yeah. They're one trick ponies and they're incompetent, you know, saying
Hakeem Jeffries is basically saying, we're not gonna let this ultra MAGA, you know, I mean, it's just so many people are just so sick of it. Of being called racist, Nazis, all of this crap, because we don't agree with this huge push towards letting the government just dictate everything. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's just frustrating. And as you know, as it's a Friday, I'm like thinking, God, I just can't wait until this week is over. But I know next week it's going to suck as well. It's going to be more of this. let me ask you this real quick. What do you think about the Alvin Bragg case and where it goes from here? Because there is a little bit of buzz going around that Alvin Bragg may be ready to bring a new witness forward that's going to kind of shoot down some of what Bob Costello made mention of. I don't know how that's going to be possible, given the fact that he was basically reading from court documents. And, you know, I mean, so I don't know how they're going to shoot it down. But what do you think? Where do you think this is going?
I don't think it's going anywhere, especially since Trump doing what he does best, trolling the media and turning lemons into lemonade, frankly. Yeah. You know, basically played them in fundraising, and now he's more, you know, they're thinking, oh, this will be, again, it's always something that's going to be the final thing that kills him. He's going to be exposed.
And he ends up coming
on top again. You know, the poll numbers, now he's above DeSantis, and he's earned, you know, pulled in 1.5 million and probably more at this point. So I don't suspect this is going anywhere. It was a flimsy case to begin with, and Bragg is interested in running for something higher, obviously. So he thought he'd make his bones on it. And he's turning out with egg on his face.
No doubt.
Does not look good when a grand jury is still questioning you and saying, well, bring me more evidence. It's like, okay.
Yeah, no kidding. And they really do kind of, they come across as these unhinged, teeth gnashing, you know, white knuckle hatred of Donald Trump is really got them kind of, they look like the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoon, you know? Just when you think they've almost got it, bam, they fail again. And it's going to happen again and again. Okay. So Bragg, let's just say, I agree. I think that's turned to ash and just, you know, wisp of smoke. I think that's going nowhere. How about Fulton County, Atlanta, that case? Does that have any more merit? Because I say, well, that one's more serious. I don't think there's much there either, but what do you think?
I don't. I seriously think a lot of these things they are ginning up and manufacturing again because they just don't want Trump to be a presidential nominee or the president again. And you know, maybe it does have more teeth, but really there is precedent on that side as well, where people have either skirted those charges or they've been, you know, put aside because he's a sitting president or he was a sitting president. So some of this stuff is just unprecedented because why are you going? And it looks adversarial and they don't care.
That's exactly what you just said there. It looks adversarial. And that is not going to be good for the independents out there as far as the Democrats are concerned. Right. Because listen, the Trump supporters aren't going anywhere. They're going to be there. They're backing their guy. But those independents, those fence sitters, those people that are saying, God, you know, I voted for him, but God, I wish he'd shut his damn mouth. But then they see a healthy dose of just going after him, going after, and then they just say, you know what, I'm going to vote for him. Screw him. Out of principle.
It also shows that he, you know, if they're going after him, and a lot of his backers say that, this is just they're going after you. They're setting up cases where if they can knock him down, what are they going to do to the average Joe citizen?
Well, I think that's one of his best attack points right there. When he says it in speeches all the time, stump speeches, and when he does the rallies, that, you know, they're coming after me, but they're really going after you. Well, yeah. Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, listen, God bless. Thank you for joining me again today. I hope we can do it again real soon. RedState.com, go read her. You have a great weekend, Jennifer.
You too. Thank you for having me, Steve. Have a good one.
Okay, take care. You got it. All right, coming up next on TNT Radio, it's The Reckoning with Timothy Shea. Until next week, I'm Steve Hook for The Steve Hook Show on TNT Radio. Goodbye.